tomorrow's European leaders. A podcast about international youth work presented by the German-Baltic Youth Exchange Network.
Welcome to Empowering Tomorrow's European Leaders, the podcast that explores the world of international youth work and its impact on shaping the future. I am your host, Max, and today we have a very special episode in store for you. In this episode, we have the privilege of interviewing a remarkable individual who has dedicated her life to empowering young people and fostering cross-cultural understanding. Joining us today is Audrey Frith, a prominent figure in the field of international youth work, representing the esteemed organization Eurodesk. But before we delve into our conversation with Audrey, let's take a moment to familiarize ourselves with Eurodesk. Eurodesk, a leading force in the realm of international youth work, is an organization committed to equipping young people with the knowledge, resources, and opportunities they need to thrive in a globalized world. With a mission to facilitate international mobility, cooperation, and personal development, Eurodesk has been at the forefront of empowering young minds for over 30 years. Through their comprehensive services and resources, Eurodesk plays a vital role in assisting young people in accessing a variety of international opportunities. Whether it's educational programs like Erasmus Plus or European Solidarity Corps, internships, volunteering initiatives, or exchange programs, Eurodesk acts as a bridge, connecting young individuals with life-changing experiences and enabling them to broaden their horizons. But Eurodesk's impact doesn't stop there. The organization actively collaborates with national and international partners, fostering fruitful alliances to amplify the reach and effectiveness of their work. Today, we have the privilege of gaining insights from Audrey Frith, the director of Eurodesk, who will share their invaluable experiences, success stories, and shed light on the organization's vision for the future. So without further ado, let's dive into our conversation with Audrey Frith, exploring the boundless potential of international youth work and how it shapes the leaders of tomorrow. Hello Audrey, thank you for joining us today. At first, I would be interested in your biography. How did you become involved in youth work?
Hi, thanks. Well, in fact, I got introduced to youth work before I knew about what is actually youth work. So I was studying European affairs in Paris, and I started having a European magazine because we wanted to explain to other students like what's happening at European level and why it's so important because it's impacting our lives. So I started like this with this pool of young journalists at the time, and we called ourselves like the bridge to Europe or something like this, so very close to what Eurodesk is doing now. And then when I started to look for a job, I tried to find something in the cultural sector or social sector, like something where there's meaning, let's say, and where you can bring something to society. And that's how I started working for what is called La Ligue de l'Enseignement, which is the like non-formal or popular education movement in France, in Paris there. And then we launched a European platform, a civil society platform for lifelong learning. And that's when I moved to Brussels. And after, kind of 7 years there, I started working at Eurodesk. So it's been like more than 15 years mm-hmm. in the sector.
And now you are the director of Eurodesk. What motivates you to work with young people and the community?
Well, for me, it's really super motivating because it goes back, you know, a bit with what I started as a student, like with this willingness to inform young people. But there we inform them about learning mobility, so how to go on a youth exchange or how to do volunteering abroad and so on. And in my personal life, again, I've been abroad like for some time after I almost finished my studies. It was in between two mobility schemes. two university schemes, and it really changed my life and the way I see the world and the way I relate to other people. So I really believe, let's say, in learning mobility. So in Eurodesk, I found really a place where, yeah, you can make a difference in young people's life. And I believe in it because also I went through it. I've seen other people going through it and how it has such a powerful effect on young people. So, yeah, I would say it's really, I'm aligned with Eurodesk, let's say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you were already talking about international mobility. What I would be interested in is, what is the Eurodesk doing in general?
So, Eurodesk is a European network, and we are an information network, which means we develop resources, websites, information campaigns on social media and so on, to inform young people about opportunities to go abroad. So it can be to do an internship, for example, in an international institution. It can be doing a volunteering program abroad, but also learning and like studying, as you said. So it's really about all those opportunities that the European Union, but also international organizations, are offering to young people. We want to make them available to all young people because not everyone knows about them, and that you can get financial support for your projects. So that's really the goal of Eurodesk, like really to build bridges between the EU, the institutions, and the opportunities that arise from them to the young people in Europe.
But the internships are only for like EU organizations or also for private companies?
No, just EU and international organizations. And we also promote some internships in youth organizations. So, for example, when the European Youth Forum or the Erasmus Student Network, when they have opportunities like paid internships, we also promote them. And that's a criteria that we are looking for opportunities that are paid, either fully or partly paid, and we don't promote opportunities that young people have to pay for themselves.
And the structure of the Eurodesk is that there is the main office in Belgium, where you are located right now, and then there are also country offices throughout Europe, but also like Multiplier, partner organization. Would you mind telling us something more about that?
Yeah, well, basically you have three levels. We have the European level that is providing all the resources and all the tools. We have the national level where we have 37 Eurodesk centers all over the EU, but also beyond. We have countries like Georgia or Switzerland and Ukraine that are members of Eurodesk. And they federate our local multipliers. And those are the youth organizations, can be municipalities, libraries. We have school and inspectorates in one country. So it's very different organizations that are in daily contact with young people and can bring this information to them. So that's a bit the structure. And I would say it's a bit the only information network funded by the EU that has this mix of like local, national, and European levels to really reach out to our target group.
So, if I understand this correctly, the Eurodesk is providing like information in general for international exchange, and the multipliers, the partner organization, it is in their responsibility to give this information to the young people.
Yeah, I mean, if I can give an example, like you have the Time to Move campaign, which is our flagship campaign taking place every year in October. So at European level, what we do is to provide a communication plan. Mm-hmm. We have the visuals, like the because we have a brand book, so we provide all the templates for social media, like brochures, posters, so everything they need. Then we send it to the national coordinators. They adapt, they translate the materials into their national languages, and then they provide this material to their multipliers in their language, and they use them to communicate to the young people, and they organize events. Mm-hmm. That the local level are organizing, I don't know, hiking tours. We have information coffees. I mean, it can be really varied. So they are the ones who are organizing the actual activities with the young people on the ground.
And the funding is coming from the European Union, right?
Yeah, it's like over 90% at European level. And then you have a different co-funding at national level.
And is there a possibility for the multipliers to get into contact with each other, maybe also on an international level?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at national level, for example, again, like One Time to Move, in Croatia, for example, they organized an activity all together. So they had a huge treasure hunt on the same day, taking place in the different cities where the multipliers were located. And they developed the methodology together. And then they run the session like in parallel. So it got media attention and so on. And now we are looking at this as a good example to organize such an activity at European level. So this will not be for this year, but for the next edition. And at European level, we encourage them to join either job shadowing projects under Erasmus+, or to develop joint activities. Some are doing virtual exchanges. You have also exchanges of volunteers with the European Solidarity Corps. So many are hosting or sending organizations. So we have a partner search forum, for example, for them to connect. And we organize every year a multiplier seminar where we have like 50, 60 participants from the network of multipliers. And that's also a moment where they get together and then can build new partnerships together.
Mm-hmm. And just staying with the multipliers for a last question, can any organization become a multiplier, or do you need a specific scope or size to become a multiplier with the Eurodesk?
Well, no, I mean, we have basic criteria, which is to have non-for-profit organizations that can be public or private, but they should be non-for-profit. They should offer the services to the young people for free, so they cannot sell the information that we give them. And they should be aligned to our vision and Eurodesk key principles that are also about delivering free information, personalized services to the young people, and so on. But then, so these are the basic criteria, but then each country has its own recruitment process and so on. So smaller countries, for example, don't necessarily have multipliers. So it really depends from one country to the other. So the best, if somebody is interested, is to contact the national coordinator of the country to see if there is an annual call, for example, to join the network and so on. And check what are the criteria, because it's very different from one country to the other. Especially when it comes to, for example, the existence or not of youth information services. Like in France, it's a public service. So usually our multipliers in France are those official information points. So it's very different, let's say, from one country to the other.
And if I understand this correctly, my responsibility as a multiplier, is it to get information through to the young people, right? Is there anything else connected with that?
Well, our multipliers, usually the requirements for them is to organize events during Time to Move. So like the young people can be informed about learning mobility, but also where to find information afterwards if they want to go on a mobility one day. They know that the service exists. So usually that's the type of things they have to do. They can display brochures like in their office for the young people so that they know also about the different programs. They can also be invited to take part in the European Youth Week, also organizing events. So it's mainly doing information activities, either online, but I mean, most of the time it's more face-to-face events and info sessions for young people. So basically that's the requirement. And in some countries, but those are really like in Turkey or in Poland, that are like the bigger networks, the multipliers are also involved in answering inquiries from young people. So yeah, so that's an extra task, but that depends also on the country. Mm.
And coming to Eurodesk and the youth work, so what is the main task of the Eurodesk when it comes to youth work?
Well, we see ourselves as one specialized youth work branch, let's say. So we see ourselves as a specialized youth worker, let's say, or a specialized youth work sector. So we contribute to the sector in how we can. So, for example, we are part of different coalitions promoting quality youth work or the recognition of youth work. For example, the youth partnership between the European Commission and the Council of Europe. There we are part of the steering committee. So we contribute to different campaigns they are running on the recognition of youth work. So basically, our expertise lies in youth information, but we see ourselves as part of the broader youth work sector, let's say. And like we, for example, I know the big projects we had was on the youth worker occupation, the youth information worker competence framework we developed together with Erika, the other European Information Counseling network. And we see it as a kind of a contribution also to the quality of the sector and for it to be recognized by member states so that they adopt also competence frameworks, trainings, to give recognition to the work that is done, on the ground with the young people, and that it should be recognized at national level and local level.
So what are the main services and resources that you provide young people in assisting them in international mobility?
Well, we have one tool that we manage at European level. It's the Eurodesk Opportunity Finder. And in it, you will find like 250 plus open programs that young people can apply to. So I would say that's kind of unique tool, because then you can look for different programs that are available and you can decide to apply or not. So the thing is, it's everything into one, because you don't have to check 200 different websites. We try to filter and have it in our database. I would say that's the most concrete, let's say, tool. And then the other tools we have, like, for example, we have the Euro classes, mm-hmm. but those we are carrying out in schools where young people are also taking part in activities. And, we also inform them where to look for information, and we give them kind of action cards, which are, for example, if they talk about youth participation, then we will explain how to apply for youth participation activity on the Erasmus+ to get funding from this program, or to do another type of activity if they are more interested in advocacy. But we give them action cards at the end so that they can also, if they are interested, they can go further and either request funding or launch a campaign and so on, mm-hmm. and continue to be in contact with us after the activity.
But if I understand this correctly, the main contact with the young people is being done by the multipliers. So how can you as an organization ensure that the young people's feedback and voices are being heard at the Eurodesk when you don't have direct contact with them?
Yeah, for sure. That's why we are a network where we rely on the national level and the local level to give us also feedback on the needs and so on. So we usually work when we developed new tools. Like now we are developing a board game. We involve the multipliers and the national coordinators in the working group. So mm-hmm. to get the feedback from them, like how they are going to use those tools, what is the feedback they get when they are in fairs, how long should the activity be, and so on. So this we rely on our network to provide us this feedback. And then we also have a research that we carry out every second year, which is the Youth Info Survey, where we also ask young people to tell us like where they look for information, what type of messages they are expecting from us. We try to be as specific in our questions to collect a bit their expectations when it comes to information related to mobility. So we have different, let's say, channels to collect this feedback. And also we have a direct also, access to the young people through the inquiries that we manage through the European News Portal. That's quite a lot of inquiries we receive. And there we can see what are the interests, because most of the time they are writing to us about volunteering abroad, so we know it's a very hot topic for them. And we can also see what's not clear, for example, in official websites and so on. And then we direct this information to the European Commission, for example, to say, this aspect is not clear, maybe it could be clarified and so on. So we also use this channel to collect their interest and so on.
Interesting. Is there also a way that you are supporting young people in overcoming barriers in international exchange, for example, language barriers or money problems?
Well, there as well, we will inform them about the inclusive inclusion aspect of Erasmus Plus and Solidarity Corps, which are providing now extra financial support for that. So we will inform them on this, and then we will send them to the national agencies, let's say, to get support for their applications, because that's when the national agencies step in. But we will inform them, that there is, it's an eligible cost now. You can we will see what they need exactly, but normally with those two programs, it can be funded. So we will direct them in priority to those programs because we know it's inclusion is a priority and there is funding for special needs.
And what are some of the biggest challenges that the Eurodesk is facing at the moment?
Well, like a bit everyone, I guess it's the lack of human resources in some countries, because the grant depends on the size of the country. So in bigger countries, you have kind of sufficient human resources, like France or Germany or Turkey and so on. They have like 3 to 5 staff members. And in smaller countries, you have a part-time Eurodesk officer. And of course, if you have part-time, you cannot work with multipliers, do online promotion, organize events, and so on. So I would say that's the biggest challenge. To have sufficient resources in all countries to run a quality service, let's say.
Mm-hmm. But I understand that everyone that works with the Eurodesk is at least part-time employed, or do you also work with mini-jobbers or volunteers?
Well, at the national level, the people are employees. So they are working usually in the national agency or in the youth council or like in France, this youth information service. But those people are employed. And then it's the level of the multipliers where people work on a voluntary basis. And they in some cases, they receive a bit of financial support, but more for organizing events, but not for really running the service or running, for human resources, let's say. So there they work on a voluntary basis.
But do you already have a plan on how to overcome this lack in human resources?
Well, we are doing a kind of advocacy towards the European Commission to show how Eurodesk contributes to the inclusion and diversity strategy of the programs, why youth information is so important. We also talk with the other players in youth work to also explain the specificities of youth information work. So I would say we're not an advocacy organization, but still we repeat all the time the importance, and we try to explain like why investing in youth information services like Eurodesk will bring more inclusion and inclusive participation in the program. So that's what we are doing.
But if your funding comes from the European Union, are there parts that see more or less need in supporting the Eurodesk? So in other words, is your funding dependent on the current parties that are in the European Commission, or is your funding secured apart from that?
I mean, we have been funded the last 30 years, so we are part of all the, since Youth in Action, like all the programs we were funded. And the funding is also slowly increasing because there is a recognition on the role played and the importance. And in some countries, like, for example, well, we have the case of Germany, the state is, because at national level it's 40%, 60% from the EU and 40% from national level. And in Germany it's the opposite, so the state is putting 60% and the commission 40%. Because they wanted to give even more to the service, because they see value in it. So it's also possible that the governments can put more money on your desk than that one, what is foreseen as a minimum.
And looking into the future, can you discuss any plans or initiatives for the future of your organization?
Well, now we've been into a big rebranding process. So this was finalized a few months ago. So now we are developing all new resources. Now we are developing a board game, because also in terms of outreach, we want to reach young people online. But I think the face-to-face is very important, especially when we want to target specific groups or disadvantaged groups. Mm-hmm. So I would say the highlight now is on equipping the network with all those material, ready-made materials. And to push for Euro classes, which is the one in schools, because also if you decide to target schools in a specific district, in the city or in a rural area, you can have a targeted approach to whom you want to reach. Because you know, like young people, most of them, they are still in school, so that's the place where you can reach them without waiting for them to come to you. So I would say that's the. Yeah, that's the focus, I would say. And the focus is also to broaden our network of multipliers. And, to multiply the information.
You just mentioned you visit schools with the Eurodesk. So is your target group from the age of, like, 15, 16 to the end of the master's degree at university then?
Yeah, usually it's 15 to 29, mm-hmm. more or less. But yeah, some there are small differences. For example, we have one on Euro working. So this one is more for those who are finishing their studies and will be looking for a job. So we are telling them about how to find a job also abroad and why the benefits and so on. So this one, it's... So it depends. Like you have the range, and inside you also how to adapt the sessions if you go with the younger groups or older groups. So you have so it depends a bit on the topic, let's say, of the classes.
Okay, and in your opinion, as a last question, what is the most pressing issue facing European youth today, and how does your organization address this issue?
Well, there's not one. there are many, let's say, pressing issues. I mean, right now everybody's talking about mental health, and it's been a while that young people are mentioning it as a pressing topic. And with the COVID, it just went more visible, I think, but it was already there. But that's not the only topic. I would say, like, employment, finding a quality and decent job, I think it's still a number one topic for most young people. Climate change. So I see, like, young people, they are, like, they have multiple uncertainties. And what we try to do is to say, okay, like, you're looking for a job, so why not consider, like, internship abroad, for example? This will reinforce and you can stand out as well, or have this also gain also soft skills like self-confidence and so on. When they return, they will be more strong, let's say, looking for a job. So it's like, and our challenge is like how to combine like mental health, mobility, climate change mobility, because like also for climate change, it could be contradictory to promote going abroad, because then if you take a plane or and so on, is it okay or not? So we have a lot of reflections also in the network, like how to position ourselves when it comes to like greening our services. For example, so this we also have guidelines we have developed with Erika on how to green use information services and so on, and how to promote green traveling and try to also inform young people on that when they are willing to know. And like again, like the programs now are giving extra financial support for green traveling and so on. And for mental health, that's the topic we're working on now, with Erika. And we will have also guidelines for youth workers and youth information workers coming soon. And that's also like something we are seeing what can be also our message on that. And when it comes to your desk, when you go on a learning mobility, it has a potential effect on the well-being, especially at the start. It can be difficult. You have to adjust to a new environment and so on. But then it can also really boost your well-being at the end, because you gain a lot of self-confidence and so on, because you went through it. But then we are thinking of making a kit as well, like a well-being kit for young people who would go abroad on the mobility exchange. Yeah, so all those topics, it's really an ongoing thinking process.
Okay, Audrey, thank you very much for this insight.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this inspiring episode of Empowering Tomorrow's European Leaders. We hope that our conversation with Audrey Frith from Eurodesk has shed light on the incredible impact of international youth work and the transformative opportunities it provides for young individuals. For deeper information, be sure to check out the website eurodesk.eu, where you can not only find opportunities for international exchange, but also information on how your organization can join the network. If you found this episode insightful and thought-provoking, be sure to subscribe to Empowering Tomorrow's European Leaders to stay updated on future episodes that delve into the world of youth empowerment, international cooperation, and the leaders of tomorrow. Thank you once again to Audrey Frith for sharing her expertise and experiences with us. Remember, each one of us has the potential to make a difference in the world. By empowering our youth, we are shaping a brighter future for all. Until next time, keep striving, keep inspiring, and keep empowering tomorrow's European leaders. We will be back in only a few weeks with a feminist organization from Ukraine. So be sure to subscribe to not miss this. Empowering Tomorrow's European Leaders is a podcast by the German-Baltic Youth Exchange Network in collaboration with the German-Baltic Future Forum. Moderation, content direction, research production and sound design, Max Schmidt. Executive producer, Lara Löser.